Hagman and Hagman. The Hagman and Hagman Report, HagmanandHagman.com. I'm Doug Hagman. I'm the old guy, I guess.
That would make me Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I want to relate a story. This hour, analysis of the news, information, things that you need to know. The headlines are dire. And I said yesterday we should not, we can't be paralyzed by a spirit of fear. We can't be. Certainly, there's no paralysis of analysis that's necessary, but we have to be sober-minded when we look at these headlines. To that end, I'm getting pummeled by censorship, and it's amazing to watch the analytics on the story. On the article I wrote, of pillows, pantsuits, and pickles. Yes, of pillows, pantsuits.
Pantsuits and pickles.
That's right.
That's right. A good.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to read that today, but that's fitting.
In fact, it's posted on Canada Free Press for comments. Yeah, it's an interesting article. I wrote that in the wee hours of this morning. But yeah, if you want to go to Canada Free Press to comment, read it at HagmanandHagman.com. HagmanReport.com and go to Canada Free Press to comment. Of pillows, pantsuits, and pickles. But right now, it's being buried in the it's being buried by the search engine Google. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then. In the body that story is an article to Judy McLeod's article about the censorship aspect of Google. So it's an important read. Before we come back, Joe, hang on a second. I want to speak to the guys out there, the Christian men, the men.
Eric, you got to
the head of the families. You know, really. In my years, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of guys meet up with girls, with women, and they have a tendency to be all bravado when they first meet up with them. And then they, I don't know, something happens, it seems. I was talking to my wife about this.
What do you mean? Like when they first meet, they got to be the manly man.
Oh yeah. Open the doors and think about this. You know, yeah, they open the door. You know, for their wives or for their girlfriends, and the wives suddenly, you know, no. They treat their wives, or they treat their girlfriends, before they become their wives, a lot differently when they become their wives. I've seen this happen more and more. I've just seen this happen, and it's.
That has to stem from the way someone was raised as a child.
No,
I know my grandma.
I think it stems from.
I'd get head slapped if I didn't open doors, pull out chairs, and
well,
that stuck with me.
Yeah,
even as I'm married, it has not changed.
But if you're a man out there listening to this, and we have true men out there, okay? I mean, men like Officer Sean, for example. You don't think that guy's got more testosterone than most? Yeah, I've seen a video. Let me tell you something. He does. Well, this happened to me a couple of years ago. This is really personal, so I'm going to kind of cut this short and leave a lot out of this. It's interesting because there was a situation, but it was about 3 years ago. My wife found herself in a position where she was getting pummeled verbally by someone, and it involved family business. And I was there. And this to me is, and I was, I don't know what made me think about this today, but I was introspective, I guess, today, and I was thinking, my mind drifted back to that. In preparation of tonight's program, I was thinking, wow, you know, the way men treat or should treat their wives. Well, she was getting pummeled, and I was with her on this. This is a business deal, that it was a family business deal. It was family involved. So you know how touchy that is, right? And she was just getting nailed. And I listened to this idiot, this guy. I listened to him for a minute, 2 minutes. And I could see my wife, you know, I could see my wife getting really angry. And I just sat there. I looked at him. Yeah, but that look. You know what I'm talking about? That look. And he's going on and on and on. And he's getting really nasty. My wife whispers in my ear, why aren't you helping? Why aren't you coming to my aid? I whispered back, wait. Another minute or two goes by, just banging, banging, banging. And she said, she whispers back in my ear, how long do I have to take this? What am I waiting for? And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this guy. Now I'm getting really angry. Okay, angry is in my rearview mirror now. Okay, I'm about ready to take the table and flop it. Luckily, well, I didn't. But you know, guys, you know that feeling, right? That goes from the tip of your mm-hmm. spine up to the back of your neck. And you can feel it in your bones and your blood and your psyche. Keep it up.
In your eyes, you feel it in your eyes.
And that vein, you know, tense. Pops and the blood spatters all over the wall.
You feel your veins in your head tense up right. And your hair get tight and, yeah.
So, you know, so I let it go on just for about another 30 seconds. And I looked at him. No, I just said basically two words to him. No, not those two words.
Love you?
No. I said, get out. He said, what? I said, get out. He made a tactical error when he said something else. The reason I'm telling you this, there's a time and place when you act and when you speak and when you don't speak. You see, one of the things that was going on at that time that my wife didn't know about, the other guy didn't know about, we were in an area, in a location that allowed audio, video recording. And as painful as it was to sit there and to not come to the, not obviously come to the aid of my wife, proved to be extremely and critically helpful. Now, that's not to say that after this, we obtained the necessary evidence, documentation. It's not to say that I didn't have my, I did not, it's not to say I didn't do anything, because I did. But we had already gotten what we needed to get to make our case. I said all that, maybe that was anticlimactic, but I said all that to say this. There's a time and a place. But husbands, you better come to the aid of your wives. If someone is beaten on them verbally or physically or whatever, but especially, and even verbally, if someone is taking them to task, it hurts when they look at you and say, or whisper in your ear and say, what are you waiting for? Why aren't you coming to my assistance? You better have a damn good answer why you're not stepping up. And that, you know, again, I don't know if that was anticlimactic. It made sense to me this morning when I was thinking about it. The other thing. What are you laughing at?
I was just thinking, if I'm the one verbally berating my wife, that's why I didn't step into her aid.
No, okay, I get that, but you know, we have, and
I was actually thinking of you.
I
when you get in one of your moods, you don't berate your wife or anything, but you just yell in general. to the dog, to the insects outside. Yeah,
I've got to work on that. I got to work on that.
You've been a lot better.
And I twitch a lot. I take medication, or I'm blow darts. You know.
What we did is put the gray powder in instead of the purple stick powder, and he doesn't know it yet.
Everything looks like noodles. Aren't the flowers lovely? You know, no, but see, we are to come to the aid and assistance of our loved ones, and we are to do so. We are to do so at the proper time and the proper and. But make sure, folks, make sure that you do it right and you're effective in what you do. And I just wanted to say that. Look, folks, we have Iranian ships harassing U.S. aircraft or U.S. Ships, Iranian boats harassing U.S. Ships. Can you believe this? Defense officials confirmed the day that the Iranian regime attempted to intercept a U.S. destroyer in the Strait of Hormuz. Yeah, four Iranian ships harassed and carried out a high-speed intercept in the Strait of Hormuz. Why aren't they at the bottom of the Strait of Hormuz? Valerie Jarrett? Why aren't they at the... I'm twitching.
No,
seriously.
I haven't.
Seriously.
I have not been able to verify any of this, and this is just my own suspicion. Last week, something we didn't get a chance to cover was that China had launched these new quantum communication satellites into orbit, and these are satellites that are supposed to keep away any and all hacking abilities or interception of communications. They're supposed to be able to relay messages
so
to
what?
Strategic locations and have no fear of those messages being intercepted.
Okay.
Now, we know that China, Iran, and Russia has kind of come together as a military and political alliance in the Middle East, specifically with Syria, and more vaguely with the economic restructuring in the East that they're doing. But I wonder what, if any, of China's new technology that they've been launching is, if they're sharing that with Iran and giving them the ability to use this.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there has been discussion, and this goes back to the Clinton, the you know, Bubba, bill on Sachs. Okay. This goes back to that administration when the, remember Charlie Tree, remember all of the nefarious dealings with Bubba and the sale of our satellite technology, rocket, technology, Laurel Corporation. Remember all that stuff, folks? Remember what was taking place. So yeah, this is nothing new. And this shows when you have four Iranian ships able to harass a U.S. destroyer in the Strait of Hormuz, what does that say about the petrodollar, about the strength of the petrodollar, insofar as the guarantee safety? The only thing holding up the petrodollar is the safety that our military can afford it. So this is unbelievable, you know.
And, you know, while we're talking about money, one by one, central banks are beginning to lose their financial security. And now it's been talked about that the feds have admitted, actually, another $4 trillion will be needed in another quantitative easing round to offset the economic shock that they are facing. A Fed staff working paper released over this last weekend titled Gauging the Ability of the FOMC to Respond to Future Recessions. It was penned by the Deputy Director of the Division of Research and Statistics at the Fed, in which the author concludes simulations of the FRB, Federal Reserve Bank, U.S. model of a severe recession suggests that a large-scale asset purchase and forward guidance about the future path of federal funds rate should be able to provide enough additional accommodations to fully compensate for the limited cut to short-term interest rates, but probably not all, they go on to say. However, they say that new rounds of quantitative easing would be needed, first $2 trillion at first, followed by another $4 trillion in the economy. They say, which a shock to the economy leads to an additional quantitative easing at first of $2 trillion, or a worst-case scenario, $4 trillion, effectively doubling the current size of the Fed's balance sheet. And the article goes on to continue that the $4 trillion of quantitative easing is startling 2% of the QE. $2 trillion is not enough to get long rates down for far less. Enough to offset the shock. So any kind of bank shock, they say not even $2 trillion being printed out of thin air is enough.
So I just want to get this straight, because for the old, well, old shriveled up, crusty old women with knitting needles listening to this in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, you're gonna have to count you have to draw this slowly with crayon, okay?
Even with a $4 trillion dollar influx of cash through quantitative easing, they still have almost no ability to offset any type of shock under the current circumstances in our financial system.
So we're toast. I mean,
but they also talked about the interest rates, the treasury bond yield rates, and you know, the treasury bonds are supposed to be one of the most, supposed to be the safest investment in the world. And in the last 2 weeks, there have been more countries pulling out of U.S. treasuries than any time since the early 1970s.
All right.
And we're in a different type of atmosphere than we were in the 1970s.
You think?
I mean, we've had years of quantitative easing, we have an inflated stock market. The money is worth 98 to 99% less than it was 100 years ago. For some reason, either through the paper markets of precious metals or through just direct manipulation of the metals, the price of metals do not reflect the actual worth versus paper money. Because if we were to look at, as I said, the value of the dollar in 1913, we'll say it was 100%. Today it's 2% to 1% of that value 100 years ago. Now, gold and silver have historically, from the beginning of time, have been used as money. We were taken off the gold standard. The prices were changed and able to be manipulated. And now they've created new markets like the paper markets, where you have no tangible gold. You have a piece of paper saying you own gold, which has led to a false surplus, if you will, in precious metals.
I want to go back here because, folks, past is prologue, and a look back in time, I don't know. We don't have to do the flash. You want to do the flash? All right. Past is prologue, I guess. Okay. Or pick one. What do you think, Eric? Eric the Tech is carefully looking here. All right. Put a bing. And taking a closer look and understanding the past is prologue, it was a Sunday night in August of 1971. What Joe is talking about, think about this now. The trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars, the debt, the monetary standard, and of course Bretton Woods and all of this. But one thing that an anniversary passed this year that no one said a word about, 45 years ago, August 15th, 1971, Richard Milhouse Nixon came on the tube, interrupting, I think it was Bonanza or Ponderosa, one of those television programs airing on a Sunday night, August 15th, 1971. And this after he consulted the Federal Reserve Chairman Arthur Burns and incoming Treasury Secretary John Connolly and the Undersecretary for International Monetary Affairs and future Fed Chairman Paul Volcker. See what happened? It was on the afternoon of August 13th, 1971. These folks, along with a dozen other people, high-ranking White House and Treasury advisors, met secretly with Nixon at Camp David, and they said, "Hey, Dick, guess what? We're in trouble. Our money supply, we're in trouble." You see, by 1971, the money supply had increased by 10%. By May 1971, West Germany left Bretton Woods system, unwilling to revalue the Deutsche Mark. In the following 3 months, just to give you some backdrop, the move strengthened strengthened the German economy. But at the same time, the dollar dropped 7.5% against the Deutschmark. Now, other nations began to demand the redemption of their dollars for gold. Remember? Bretton Woods, okay? Well, okay. Switzerland, they redeemed 50 million in July. Well, that was a lot of money back then, 50 million at the time. France acquired 191 million in gold. And on August 5th, 1971, the U.S. Congress released a report recommending the devaluation of the dollar in an effort to protect the dollar against foreign price gougers. No, these people just wanted the money in gold like we promised them. On August 9th, 1971, remember this? The dollar dropped in value against all European currencies. Switzerland left Bretton Woods agreement, and the pressure to intensify on the United States to leave Bretton Woods was great. So, that said, Nixon called up all of these financial luminaries, these Keynesian economists, and said, "Hey, what do we do? Now, Volcker, you might say, "Oh, wait a minute, he's an Austrian. Isn't he Austrian, though?" Well, go back to 1971. So, there's a meeting that took place on Friday the 13th of August, 1971. And you might ask yourself, why is this important? Because it gives you the context of what we're seeing today. Nixon directed Treasury Secretary Connolly to suspend, with certain exceptions, the convertibility of the dollar into gold. Did you know that before that you could take the dollar or the gold dollars and get gold? Okay. Ordering the gold window to be closed, such a foreign governments could no longer exchange their dollars for gold. Nixon issued Executive Order 11615. 11615. You got that? Pursuant to the Economic Stabilization Act of 1970, the previous year, which imposed a 90-day wage and price freeze to counter inflation. Remember that? No? I guess I'm old. This is the first time in U.S. government ever that the U.S. government enacted wage and price control since World War II. And then a surcharge of 10% was set to ensure that American products would not be at a disadvantage because of the expected fluctuation in the dollars between in the exchange rates between the foreign currency and American currency. And you get the idea. So he goes on TV August 15th, Sunday before the markets open, and said, and I'm going to quote this now. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to quote this. I'm just going to say this. He took us off the gold standard. And said, ultimately, the effect of this action, in other words, was to stabilize the dollar. Yeah. Through the Ponzi scheme, which we have today. Now, the Americans listening to this and were more upset over the interruption of their favorite Western than they were anything else. Because they didn't understand it. I remember this too. I do remember that day in August 1971. And I remember the reaction of my parents. Which, well, I'm not going to get into that, but I mean, I remember this. But they felt that the government was saving them from the price gougers and foreign cause exchange crisis. Nixon convinced the American public that, no, this was, it's the bad people over there. This is why we have to do it. No, it was the spending over here through entitlement programs, through the Keynesian economic system. And I would urge, if you want a homework assignment, read up on John Maynard Keynes, K-E-Y-N-E-S.
Oh, yeah.
Do your homework on that. And the Keynesian economic system. Why is it called Keynesian? Keynes.
Absolutely.
Keynes. With a C. Anyway.
We got, we're coming up against top of the, or top break of
yes,
the segment.
Are. Took that.
When we come back, we're going to be hitting news and, other important information. Some interesting, tidbits here before we go to the break. Senator Harry Reid calls Benghazi mother crazy. Remember Patty Smith? Yesterday, Harry Reid.
Who did that? Harry Reid?
Yeah, yesterday he met with the Reno Gazette Journal editorial board. During the meeting, Reid attacked Patty Smith, the mother of the Benghazi victim hero Sean Smith, calling the grieving mother crazy for
Harry,
her
Harry Reid would have
Hillary
another
Clinton.
Black eye. Let me tell you what. Remember when Harry Reid was walking around with a couple of black eyes and he fell down on his, fell down, went boom. He'd be walking around with, I'm saying this. I'd give him the black eye if that was my mom or my sister or my mother or my wife. You gonna talk to me like that? Call me crazy?
It's come out about Huma Abedin. She says Jews are adept at working the American political system, as she is an award winner in a Muslim magazine for being a Muslim American with her accomplishments. This and more when we come back on the other side. Stay with us.
Twitching. The Hagman Report coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania for a final segment. I just got something to say. You know, I was talking to Eric the Tech during the break. Eric the Tech is a man who's well worth his weight in gold. That's right. As we all are, but he's extra special. And he's our tech guy, Eric the Tech. He's all mic'd up. How you doing, Eric? It didn't come over my headset. That's all right. My ears. All right. But a couple of things. I got a message. I don't even know how to do this. You'll know who you are. You'll know who you are. You'll know if you're the intended. Your first name. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, but I don't know why I'm doing it this way. Her name is Brenda. And you're from this area. When I say this area, I'm talking about a big swath of this area. You got to think about that. Big swath. Send me an email. 1992, 93, 94, 95, somewhere in there. I've got some information for you. Pretty cryptic, huh? No, I don't want to have 2,500 Brenda's email me. You'll know who you're talking about, or you'll know who I'm talking to. I'm doing an investigation, and I just need some clarification, but I might have some information for you. How's that? I mean, using our airwaves to set up. No, it's not that. It's business. All right. But Eric the Tech told me during the break, and I just want to tell you, it's interesting because we're being censored by Google. Judy McLeod of Canada Free Press points out the censorship. It's clear. Bob Maggie, thank you so much for the email. But we're getting dinged every day. We buy the music that you hear is ours.
Mm-hmm.
The music that we play, we have a license to play.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's Eric the Tech or Joe Stahl or any number of people that create this music. And it's a damn shame. It's shameful that that this monetary, Babylonian monetary system out there is penalizing us.
For playing music we own.
Yeah.
Under a false copyright violation.
See, I look at this as the new censorship, or as a variation of censorship, because they take away your, they take away any sliver of income that we might have from our shows.
And let me say this. From when we started YouTube to right now, even though the number of subscribers have doubled, even though the viewers have quadrupled, the income has been cut by like four-fifths.
And you look at the numbers, you look at the live views, you look at the archive views, and you think, wow, that's a lot. No, it's not. It's not even, you can look at the back end, and it's not even reflective of the true numbers. We've got the true numbers. Those aren't the true numbers. Nowhere near the true numbers. Anyway, I just want...
When you do a show and, you know, 10 hours after it's done, it's at 35,000 views, and the next day you look at it and it says 510, there's issues there.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of issues. But enough with our complaints and personal classifieds, right? Now, it is rather important, and I think people who are close to me know what I've been involved with, and I just got... Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. You know, and no, I don't need any. No, I'm going to stop there. Well, I'm not going to say another word, because the next sentence I say will be something really, I'm going to have to repent for. So you go ahead and let's start on the news.
Well, we got news from, I don't know, the last 5 days or so, some important headlines we're going to hit on. First off, I want to start with this. World Health Organization manual directing authorities on how to respond to vaccine deniers in public. The endlessly increasing vaccine push on the public at the behest of the pharmaceutical companies can be looked at as nothing more than a psychological operation, or PSYOP. The article goes on to cite the World Health Organization's latest document, Best Practice Guidance, First Edition, How to Respond to Vocal Vaccine Deniers in Public.
SV40 vaccine, cancer-laden polio vaccine. Remember the commercials where they were the little sugar cubes and the little cups, and they'd give you a drink with the sugar cubes? The government knew, and you can ask... Judith Vary Baker, author of Me and Lee, Dr. Mary Sherman, who was murdered back in the 60s, right after Kennedy was assassinated, Dr. Mary's Monkey by Ed Haslam. During that time, the polio vaccinations were infected with a cancer virus, SV40, SV40. And the government knew about this. There were kids in iron lungs, kids that were in excruciating pain, yet the government got on the airwaves and said, take this vaccine, knowing it was contaminated, and they did this to us. Now this, go on.
What's alarming about this paper, this PSYOP paper on how to force vaccinations on people in the public who do not want them, this document addresses science denialism for health authorities in the public venue, and it goes on to state those who question science and experts are chopped into three categories. One, a vaccine refuser. Two, a vaccine skeptic. Or three, a vaccine continuum. The vaccine denier refers to a member of a subgroup at the extreme end of the hesitancy continuum. Now, what it says here is when it comes to the corporate bottom line, the pharmaceutical company lobbyist focuses on the politician or government official that can persuade the people and maneuver around and through the stopgap measurements to remove medical and health freedom. To these ends, the World Health Organization has created a graphic to address the probability to change one's mind in vaccine acceptance.
Yeah, we don't have to know what's in the food we eat or stuff we drink. Nah, dark act. Remember that? It blows my mind. Some of the very people who are just incredibly upset over the passage or non-passage of the dark act, or then not having the companies not demanding them to be forthright with the contents of their food are the very same, some of the very same people who are kind of a schizophrenic on this issue. What's up with that?
Well, this document, and I'm just reading some of the cliff notes here, goes on to caution public health officials when dealing with anti-vaccination or anti-science people, stating that beware that your personal safety may be in jeopardy, and therefore the vaccine must or may be needed to be administered by force.
That's right. We're going to hold you down, and we're going to give no. You know what?
Done so
we're
going to
hold your kid down.
They've done so in hospitals, and when I had a surgery on July 6th on my lower back, and after the surgery for I think 3 different days within 2 weeks, a nurse would come to the house to check the wound and change a bandage and make sure everything was all right. And one of the nurses we talked to, my wife and I, told us a story that we've heard many times coming from other parts of the country and other stories on the internet, which is she had to take certain vaccines and has to each year, otherwise she loses her job. My question is, how long until that relates from only health workers to food service workers or all workers in general? You want a job? Do you want your paycheck? You're going to need to get a vaccine. Do you want to? It's almost like the mark of the beast type mentality. Do you want to be a part of society or not? If so, you need to take this vaccine. And why do you think they have these programs that they run at the drugstores? You ever notice those big signs at CVS's or these other drugstores that say, oh, you know, free flu shot?
Yeah, my doctor.
Or $10 off your purchase at this drugstore with a flu shot today.
I just tell them I got my flu. They ask, I got my flu shot.
Oh, yeah, last time I was there, the doctor asked me, and I said I didn't want one. He asked me why, and I actually cited some of what Dr. Ted Breuer had mentioned on our show about the ingredient. I don't remember off the top of my head now. I did then the two major ingredients that were inside flu shots that should not and have no purpose being there, and the doctor basically told me I was crazy. And I was fine with that because, whatever.
You know, folks, we're going to have a choice to make. It's not going to be pleasant.
And as
Chuck Baldwin said,
you bring your needle, I'll bring my gun. We'll see which one leaves a bigger hole.
That's right. And there you go. Because we are not going to be subjugated to this. And people might get tired of hearing me say that, but seriously, we're not going to live in this fashion.
No.
And,
you're not going to force vaccines on us. You're not going to force your will upon us just because you want it that way. You can inject me with a vaccine over when my body's laying there dead on the ground. I'll have no problem then.
Yeah, that's right. So, but that's vaccine news. They're pounding down on. They're drilling down on this really hard.
A few things. One natural disaster, one terrorist attack, one hit before we run out of time tonight. In Italy, there has been a number of earthquakes. Up to 160 are dead. Italy mourns quake victims as death toll approaches 160. Researchers continue to search for survivors in central Italian towns devastated by a 6.2 magnitude earthquake as the number of victims rose to 159 on Wednesday night. Now, since then, there's been another 4.0 magnitude earthquake since just after the first one. And the death toll is expected to continue to rise. And some are asking, is this a precursor to what could be a even larger quake? Many towns are devastated and left completely in ruins. And I would just say that, you know, keep the people of Italy in your prayers as they continue to go through a swarm of quakes, two of which caused tremendous amount of damage. And in other international news, one dead, 25 injured as a gunman attacks a U.S. embassy in Kabul. I'm waiting for this to load here.
Well, this goes along with and you might be hearing about this. This goes right along with the Turkey military launching an operation to Jarablus in Syria with U.S. air support. Now, there's this talk of this U.S.-led coalition forces in operation using Turkey getting involved in this now. But the real story here is that this coalition, define this coalition, because the U.N. hasn't authorized a multinational coalition.
No,
the U.S. Congress hasn't. The alliance of Sunnis with the U.S. Human Shield military mixed in. What is that? It's not a coalition. It's a gang.
Well,
I mean,
there's
it's
a few
not
things
a coalition.
Going on in the Middle East. One, Stan talks about the 34 Muslim nations that surround Israel that have created an alliance or coalition. Then separately from that, you have Russia, China, Iran, and Syria forming a coalition. Some would call the Axis of Evil. I would call it the Countries Against the New World Order. But if what they're doing is good or bad, we still have yet to see the results as the military buildup on Ukraine continues to increase, unnerving some.
Wait. Don't go to Ukraine yet, because back to the operation we're just referenced. Go back and listen to Sergeant Sangari from Monday,
mm-hmm.
or the August 23rd, I believe it was, right?
Yeah.
No, 22nd. I don't know.
It's 24th, so the 22nd.
Okay, so yeah. Go back and listen to that. And listen to, he's head of the Assyrian, he's a retired U.S. lieutenant colonel from the U.S. military involved with the Assyrian Christian Army.
Yep.
And we had talked to somebody. Imagine this. I mean, here's a guy in Iraq, Mosul, fighting ISIS. He's got a cell phone in one hand and an AR in the other hand, on radio.
Yeah.
And by the way, I got an email saying, can't hear him. Really, that wind is annoying, isn't it? Some days you just want to take your head and bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, anyway, no, right, it was a pleasure for them to come on, and an honor to have them on, and it shows that how much is needed in this fight in the Middle East, how much has been taken away from so many families over there through senseless violence. We say it's senseless. The enemy knows it's part of its agenda, and it will continue until it's ended one way or the other. Now, there was a stabbing in Brussels the other day.
A
woman shot by police after attacking three bus passengers with a machete. Now, what makes this interesting is this was a Muslim woman who attacked three separate people with a machete, two seriously wounded, and she was shot, according to the Belgian media. Now, what the media there is reporting is that this had nothing to do with religion. She was suffering from psychological disorders. At this stage, it is not being treated as terrorism.
No, they're all mentally ill, right?
This incident was met with large police response and secure perimeter set up at the scene.
Yes.
Brussels remains on high alert after the coordinated terror attacks on the city in March this year and in the wake of the Paris attacks. But this most recent attack where three people were stabbed with machetes is being said that it was not a terror attack. It was a psychological breakdown by a Muslim woman.
Right. The psychological breakdown was behind it. The fact that she was Muslim and shouting Allahu Akbar and, you know.
Well, see, this comes on the heels of
wearing
the heat Merkel's been getting.
Right.
From the fly-in at night of the extra refugees that they let in above the million plus they let in through the front door.
Don't talk about that.
Yeah. And then switching gears here.
Do we have to?
Because, yes, we do. This is very important.
All right.
This is on the Daily Caller website. Transgenderism.
Okay.
Not supported by scientific evidence.
Really? Wow. So the XY chromosome thing still stands, right?
Another popular culture, and many of the leading media organizations have bought wholeheartedly into the idea that gender identity is something distinct from one's biological sex, that a man could be born into a woman's body or vice versa. Such beliefs have no grounds in any credible scientific evidence.
Wait a minute.
This
now,
according to a report published by The Atlantic.
Son of a gun, you.
Oh, this is a reported in a journal, the New Atlantis. So if people want to take up issue with
New
this.
New Atlantis or New Atlantic?
They say Atlantis, but it's the New Atlantic. Arizona State University professor of statistics and biostatistics, Mr. Lawrence Mayer and John Hopkins University Medical School professor Paul McHugh co-authored the report, which examined top peer-reviewed studies in the biological, psychological, and social sciences. Examining research from the biological and social sciences, this report shows that some of the most frequently heard claims about sexuality and gender are not supported by scientific evidence.
Homophobic son of a gun, you just can't face the music, you know. So when I wake up, or what, not me, believe me. So when Eric or somebody wakes up and says, I just identify with being a woman today. Okay, Eric.
Yeah, there's no evidence that suggests that. They go on to say an area of particular concern involves medical interventions for gender non-conforming youth. They are increasingly receiving therapies to affirm their felt genders, and even hormone treatments or surgical modification at young ages.
So we have genital mutilation. What happened to, what's his name? Bruce Jenner, the
Caitlin.
Guy that we, Caitlin, right.
Cat.
So what happened to him was genital mutilation, or didn't he get his
thing? I don't
know
if he got his, but he's regretted, becoming a woman.
Whacked off.
A man woman, since
then. Oh, that's a poor choice of words. I'm sorry. But yeah, all right.
It goes on to say, while there is evidence that biological factors such as genes and hormones are associated with sexual behaviors and attractions, there are no compelling explanations for human sexual orientation. And they even go on to state that individuals have been identified by researchers as having neurological problems when dealing and problems with structures of the brain when dealing with homosexual and heterosexual differences.
Wow. Well, okay, so, but for every scientific study, it seems like we have another one that'll say something different. It's kind of like...
Well, this is the first I've seen that actually goes against the 87 gender identities that one could have,
right.
One for each day of the 3-month period, one for each day of the quarter.
but yeah, so the relevance of this to today's, you know, what does it matter, is this. We are looking at really evidence here that is cited by the Daily Caller from a scientific study saying there is no scientific basis for transgenderism.
Yeah.
It's a behavioral attribute. It's or characteristic. It is not one that's rooted in one's identity, physiological identity. So, stick that in your pipe and smoke it, all right? Because it's a behavioral characteristic. And this behavioral characteristic is shameful. Shame on us. Shame on us.
The Pew poll that you referenced earlier is something that we should talk about.
Yes.
Americans giving up on God and miracles, yep. According to a latest Pew poll, half of Americans who have left their church no longer believe in God, leading a surge of nearly one quarter of the nation who have no affiliation with any religion, according to a new survey. Wednesday,
you
the
know,
Pew Research
wait a
Center...
Second, I drove down in that, Joe, and I read through the excuses, because when you look at that article, you can go to the actual Pew survey, and mm-hmm. I don't want to interrupt you, but I'll just say this. There's a lot of want for leadership in the Christian community, and did you hear what I said? The Christian community is basically without leadership and without any direction and without any sensibilities right now. Moral and so what I see here, and I'm going to leave it to the information, but what I see here are a lot of people, the reason they're not going to church, the reason they're giving up on God is not because they disbelieve or not because, for no other reason except when you look at the entire poll, and it's going to take you an hour, maybe an hour and a half to really go through it because there's so many different angles to it. It shows a failure of Christian leadership here in this country. Go ahead.
Yeah, and in some of the examples of why people are unaffiliated with religion, some are too many Christians doing unchristian things, which that is being human. But learning about evolution when I went away to college is another one. Religion is the opiate of the people. I think Joseph Stalin said that.
That's my favorite quote for disbelief.
Rational thought makes religion go out the window.
The second quote.
Some other ones. I see organized religious groups as more divisive than uniting. And I go, it goes on to say, because I think religion is not a religion anymore. It's a business. It's all about money. That's true in many cases. Another example or excuse is the clergy sex abuse scandal or the church's teachings on homosexuality. In my opinion, a great reason to leave the church, not to leave God though. And I think we need to differentiate and help people like this if we ever come across them, those who are, leaving the church, but not only leaving the church, are leaving the Lord behind, that are leaving God behind. Because yes, a lot or most of these issues that I'm reading and comments I'm reading as to why people are leaving the church have nothing to do with a personal relationship between them and God. It has to do with the behaviors they see of other Christians, of the churches, the belief systems that the churches have incorporated that revolve around the world and not of God. I think it is because the church has become too assimilated with the world, and the preachers have changed the message of God into a message of a lie. And that is, you know, some of the main reasons. But obviously, in this age of apostasy, there are going to be people who not only leave the church, but leave and give up on God. They believe God is dead. They read these philosophers and their thoughts, and from Plato to Nietzsche and
you know, Nietzsche went insane. Just yeah, to see, so you know that he, right? And he wasn't.
In
insane.
The end, he was talking to his horse.
I'm not sure that's all he was doing with his horse. But
no, but seriously, I mean, that's what happened. I mean,
Nietzsche was one cracked up guy.
I mean, look at who is it? Isaac Newton, one of the smartest scientists ever in the history of the world, you know, died eating mercury, trying to turn lead into gold. Some of the smartest people. It's a thin line between, you know, genius and insanity.
Yeah, but most people don't cross that line. Of pillows, pantsuits, and pickles, that's my article.
Puppet strings. That might be next.
I should have put that in there.
No, that might be next.
That might be. Yeah, go ahead and, the marionettes, right?
Yeah. Okay. Basically, that's what she is now, anyway.
Comment on Canada Free Press if you so desire, because that does elevate it in the search engines, and we fight against censorship that way. But this article in particular, it's kind of a pithy article. Yes, pithy. It's getting pounded.
Before we end tonight's broadcast, a story Woods, we mentioned yesterday that needs to be mentioned again today. It is official. The U.S. occupation of Syria is here. There are boots on the ground.
Yeah.
This is a historic and dangerous development, which only increases the chance of total war, not only in the Middle East with Syria, but with its allies, Russia, China, and now Iran, as Iran has up to 100,000 troops on the ground fighting ISIS, and Russia continues its drone strike campaign against ISIS, as America does as well, but the civilian count on the American side continues to rise, sadly.
Interesting.
Now, that'll do it for the news tonight. Quick and special announcement. Tomorrow night, for the whole show.
Oh, boy.
Patrick Wood. I don't know if you've heard of him before.
If you haven't,
he's the author.
Buckle up, saddle for battle. Watch out.
Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation.
I've quoted from that book on this show. I mean,
I've read this twice.
Oh, my word.
The dark horse of the New World Order is not communism, socialism, or fascism. It is technocracy. The new international economic order, started by the Trilateral Commission, is not known by many names, but sustainable development is one of them. Technocracy is a movement started in the 1930s. And in this book, Patrick Wood does a masterful job in tracing technocracy's history, how it works to create a totalitarian control, and why it must be stopped, exposing the very darkest side of globalism.
Yeah.
Technocracy Rising.
Tell everybody tomorrow. You know about tomorrow, because that's going to be good. And thank you, John Robertson, for setting up this interview and for Patrick Wood for tomorrow.
I didn't tell you this, but I talked to John today.
About the issue?
A couple weeks. DM.
Yeah.
It's not 100% yet, but looking good.
Folks, that'll do it for us, right? Why is there no out thing on the big screen? I don't know. When do we go out?
Eric, you're
Thank
slacking.
You. All right. Whoa. See what I did there?
I want to thank each and everyone
just had a seizure there,
for joining us tonight.
Oh, drop the balloons.
Thank
balloon
you, Chuck
mom.
Baldwin, Romans 13.
Better folks. Open your bag of pickles. Or your jar of
pickles.
Make sure you're okay.
Flying in on the sandwich spear. Never mind. You know, you folks, you would not want to live with me. Let me tell you, I'm just nuts. Remember, if you're Brenda from Crawford, the county below me,
from an area,
me, just not call me. Send me an email. I got some information for you. You'll know who you are. It's back 20 years ago. That's something I need to tell you.
Thanks for joining us tonight, everyone. Have a great evening.